Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Good. There's a few empty seats here today, huh? It's Friday, usually off. Can hold this meeting in my office. In terms of yesterday's practice, I thought it was a good practice. I thought we made some strides in terms of understanding what we have to do to win the game, and also understanding what they do and how we have to play the things that they do. So specific to our game plan, then also the context of the Vikings' specific strengths as well. So really looking to finish up the week strong, build on those things. Got a little bit of a head start yesterday on the red zone, which was positive. We'll continue to work there. And goal line, short yards, the typical Friday process. And talked to the team this morning and spent a lot of time just discussing the fact that we control the things that happen by the way that we work. And when you understand the benefits that hard work brings, it's really much easier to do that. And I just shared with them a story that happened to me a couple nights ago. I went home and it was kind of late and got into bed, and I have the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old had gone down. They were in bed, which they have been quite a bit lately. So they're in bed, and I woke up the 5-year-old, not intentionally, but he kind of woke up, and he said to me, he said, "Daddy, well, you know, why do you have to work so much?" And, you know, having that discussion late with a 5-year-old when you're trying to go to sleep, it was, you know, it just happens. And then explained, I said, "Well, Jake, you know, you like to go to Disney World, right?" And he said, "Yeah, and at Cape Cod and all those things, and got to work sometimes to create those opportunities." So go back to bed, I think it's fine. He doesn't say anything. About 2 minutes go by, I get this tap. "Jake, what is it?" He says, "Shouldn't you go back to work?" And he got it. He probably sat for 2 minutes doing the cost-benefit ratio, and okay, I want Mickey more than you. Head back to work. So it applies in all phases. And with that, I'll open up to questions.
In the context of this being the opening game, and you always want to surprise the opponent, is there a greater opportunity, obviously, to surprise the opponent in the opener than in any other game?
Yeah, the opening game is it's so unique, and I shared a story during training camp how in New England 1 year we had worked on a bunch of these defenses and really liked them in camp, had all kinds of names, hamburger and cheeseburger, I mean, this whole thing. I don't know how many reps we practiced of it, but it was a ton. We didn't really want to show it till we got in the game. We ran it the first 2 times, and didn't work like it worked in training camp. And so those things, you know, all that stuff that you had prepared for kind of went out the window. And there's stuff that you haven't seen on tape that really isn't something that's characteristic of that coordinator, that head coach, and suddenly it shows up because we've all had an off season to look at tape. We've had training camp to analyze the things that you're doing, to analyze the opponent. You got a little extra time this week to look at a little bit more tape, and there is the element of having to adjust, and it's different than as you move into the season and understand how they're going to approach it.
Can that snowball through a whole game wherein, you know, it kind of creates a ripple effect, and the opponent is on his heels all day if you hit with that first surprise?
Well, you'd love for that to happen. I mean, when you get those days, those are good days. And I had some of those days on the plus side where you get 8 sacks and everything's going great, or you score a bunch of points and things are rolling. Then you have the other days on the flip side where you're dealing with that. And what we try to do as a staff is as the players come off, go through the pictures, go through the things that we're seeing, talk to the players, see how they're seeing it, and then the next series say, okay, well, if this happens, forget what we're going to do there. Now we're going to do this. And that's also why it's so important to have players that that are flexible, that can adjust, because you're not walking through it at that point. You're not the amount of time between series. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. But you're trying to get all that stuff in place for that adjustment the next series, so you don't get hit, you know, two or three times before you respond.
Opportunity to watch these rookies through the offseason, through training camp and that, and some of them have caught your attention. Do you feel the need maybe to calm a few of them down to get them ready for that first official game?
Yeah, we always remember our first time. So you try to explain it. You try to have the veterans talk to them a little bit. You try to, as much as possible, create a sense of familiarity in an environment that's really unfamiliar. And watched a little bit of the game last night. The speed of the game so dramatically different than what they've seen in preseason, and that can be a little bit of a wake-up call. But as a coaching staff and as a group of veteran players, and you help them. You try to prepare them as much as you can. But the experience is what prepares them probably the best.
Mike Tannenbaum yesterday said that the Jets probably should have put Brett Favre on the injury report last year. First of all, could I get your take on that?
Yeah, in terms of the things that happened last year, I really addressed that yesterday, and I don't have anything additional to add to that.
So this won't change the way you do business going forward in terms of putting guys on the list or leaving them off? Or
The approach has really been consistent from my perspective, and we're always going to try to work to follow the rules in the strictest fashion. So that won't change. I respect the rules, and we're going to follow the rules.
They're going to continue to investigate. Have they contacted you yet?
I haven't been contacted, and that's, you know, in terms of what I said yesterday, that's really where I'm at.
Is there a gray area there, Eric, where guys may have a pre-existing injury, they may or may not practice during the week if you intend to have them play? I mean, do they belong on the report or don't they? It seems like there's a...
Well, you, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different rules that you look at, and you're trying to do it the right way, and that's been the approach, and it'll stay the approach, is to try to stay in the context and do it the right way, and if you have questions, try to ask questions to make sure you're doing it the right way.
Since your injury report has come out, can I ask you, as Jerome Harrison... limited in practice, he's got that knee brace. Pierman hasn't been able to practice. Are you thin at running back, healthy-wise, anyway?
We'll just have to see where Jerome is today, where Pierman is today, and also tomorrow. And I can't convey enough how things do change with a few days one way or the other, where a guy that you really think is going to be there on Sunday can't go, and a guy that you don't really think is going to be there, you're hoping, can go. Happened last year in New York, where one of our tight ends, we made him active, looked like, worked him out prior to the game, things looked like they're going the right way, and then he couldn't give the reps that we thought that he could give us, and you have to make that decision, and you do the best you can, and you try to provide as much time as you can to go through and give every player an opportunity to participate. But it does change, and you wait to let it all play out.
What have you seen out of Thomas throughout the month and a half of camp? And how tough a matchup is that week one, Jared Allen coming off the edge?
It's tough. Jared Allen, he's an impressive rusher, great motor, good in terms of his speed rush and then the ability to transition from speed to power when they incorporate some of the games that they have where he may start like he's running a speed rush and come underneath or add a blitzer to that mix. It's challenging. And then you look at the rest of the group, they're tough too. So it's not like you can just say, okay, well, if we just handle him, we'll be in good shape. And Kevin Williams, he produces a lot of pressure. And it's when you have that, you got a lot of different things that you have to do to try to control it.
On the theme of surprise, does Brett Favre tend to ad-lib? Does he ad-lib more than any quarterback that you can think of? And how does that manifest itself during the course of a typical Favre game?
I don't know if it's ad-libbing as much as reacting. He's got supreme confidence. He's got great arm strength. He can make some things happen that some other guys can't make happen. And he knows that he can make those things happen. He's confident with it, and the receivers know it as well. So I don't think it's just in terms of here's the game plan, he's going to go out of the context of it. It's more here's an opportunity, I'm going to try to take advantage of that opportunity. And he does it really well.
When you were his coach, was there a real strong element of trust wherein maybe he didn't always do what was in the script, but you kind of trusted that he knew what he was looking at?
Yeah, I never felt like he was going out off the script or off the game plan. And Brett's great, too, about talking through things during the course of the week, talking through, okay, well, I know we're going to run this play, but if we get this opportunity, what do you think? It wasn't something where he'd just surprise you with the way that he was going. He's very good about that, where you analyze it, you look at it, you try to assess where potential opportunities could be, and sometimes it may be on the sideline. Hey, this corner's sitting hard outside here. This corner's biting up, or this, and what you don't want to do is coach that out of him because he makes a lot of plays with it.
Just one more Favre thing, and that would be, you were around Brady for a long time. Is there, Favre just seems a little more cavalier or, swashbuckling or something than Brady, but is there any link between those guys, similarity?
I think that both guys are incredibly smart guys. They're savvy. They understand defenses, and even though their personalities may be very different, I don't think the approach or the way that they use the experience they have and the understanding they have is different. I don't know if that makes total sense. They may approach it a little bit differently, but it's based on the same types of things.
Talk a little bit about Lawrence Vickers' role as you foresee it, and also how often you see using a fullback, a two-back system in traditional running situations.
You like to use the two-back system in both so that it's not overwhelmingly slanted one way or the other. So every time you're in two-back, you run, you want to be able to build it both ways. I think Lawrence has done a nice job throughout camp and preseason, and he's really worked on some things that we've identified that we thought could help him, and he's worked at it, and he's improved at it, which I like. I like the way that he's approached things in the classroom, and the nice thing about a two tight end system with Robert and Steve is both those guys have the ability to go into the backfield as well. So you can build two back even out of a one back, and the same thing with Lawrence. You could put him maybe not in line on the line of scrimmage, but off the line, tight to the line, like you would a tight end. You see those the ones that are off the line. He can do some of that as well. So that's what we're constantly trying to do, is within the packages build off each other, and so that you add reps and familiarity with the plays, but you can create them a lot of different ways.
Eric, as a general rule, when the schedule comes out in April or whatever, when do you start, even if it's just preliminary work, starting to look at that first opponent and just tracking what they do, maybe look at some film and just start thinking about it and maybe mentally getting ready?
As you build the off-season schedule in the different weeks and you're building the coaching staff schedule and what they're going to work on, you always build time for new opponents and off-season studies. So you'll go through and do the equivalent of an off-season scouting report, an off-season game plan thoughts on an opponent. And you have to look, too, at, okay, is the coordinator the same? Is the head coach the same? Is there going to be consistency? And you try to build at least a foundation that you can look back on and say, okay, these things have stayed consistent over time. So, and it's not just new opponents. There'll be some divisional work and
almost immediately when that schedule comes out, you just start doing a little bit of work toward it.
Yeah, and you spend some more time on the earlier opponents because you know that you're not going to have as much game tape leading into those games, and sometimes it's really valuable, and other times you think, well, it was a good exercise, but well,
didn't quite work. Report, is that your responsibility?
I work with the trainers and the doctors and get all the information that we can on that.
Do you also consult with your general manager on that on a daily basis? Or?
Yeah, George and I both go through. We get updates daily and try to get all the information that we possibly can.
Is that essentially the same way it worked in New York?
As I said, with New York, I'm really answered all those questions. So.
AFC North, or the NFC North for that matter, there's a reputation that's supposed to be, they, by the nature of the weather later in the year, tend to be smash mouth divisions. Yet Pittsburgh seems to be migrating to be somewhat of a passing team every time it needs to be. In that context, how capable are you of being a passing team when you need to be?
Well, that's always the driving force, is to be whichever you need to be that week against that opponent. And it's not, the goal is flexibility, because every single time you play a game, the problems that you face, the challenges that you face, they're dramatically different team to team. Sometimes it's all man to man. Sometimes it's heavy blitz. Sometimes it's more zone. Sometimes it's dropping eight. You got to fight the battle based on the terrain, based on the opponent.
Of course, that question pertains to Minnesota giving up about 70 yards a game 3 years in a row on the rush, and you got to pass or you're not going to move the ball, it would seem. So, I mean, have you seen enough in camp and preseason to think that you have a chance to be a good passing team against a great running defense that isn't going to let you run?
When we played Minnesota in 06, they were pretty good against the run. We ran it 29 times. So I think there also has to be balance.
Mary Kay, last one.
The Browns picked Joe Thomas ahead of Adrian Peterson. Do you see the wisdom in building your offense that way by getting the premier left tackle? And would you say it worked out great for both teams?
I'm really happy Joe Thomas is here. So, yeah, you go into the draft and you look at the needs and you make the decision based on, you know, kind of where you think you need to go organizationally. So not knowing what all those conversations were, I think they both become really outstanding players, and that's what you're always looking for, too, is to get those draft picks to really play well.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, everybody.